Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
The first day that I could be interviewed, the 17th, Greg, George, and Condi were there like breakfast time, the very first day. And I knew that meant something. Houston, we did a Zoom call. That was all of the process was fantastic.
That was Sean Payton on Monday talking about the process that led him to Denver. He basically wanted to be loved. That's what he wanted.
It sounded like he moved on very quickly after the Houston Zoom call. He went from talking about how awesome it was that the Broncos ownership group woke up in time for breakfast to the Texans being on a Zoom call, which they did because the Texans wanted to interview Sean Payton and weren't allowed to meet in person yet, so they interviewed him via Zoom because that's what they do these days, old man. And apparently that was just that may have been an insult to Sean Payton. Who knows? He's got a healthy ego, this guy.
If I'm reading between the lines, that's what it sounds like to me. Like, that was the only reason. When he was asked why Denver the other day at his press conference, and contrasted to D'Amico Ryan's answer, where D'Amico literally listed like five or six things, a couple of which were emotional, you know, sort of like, I'm coming home, I played here. But some of them were also empirical, like, we've got draft capital, we've got cap space, all those things. Literally the only thing that Sean Payton said that would support an answer of why did you pick Denver was the owners were waiting for me for breakfast on the first day I could be interviewed in person.
I think I would say that in his preamble, he mentioned a few other things that were notable about the tradition there. He threw a few compliments at the Broncos as a tradition. I would agree, though, Sean, in that I watched the entire 45 minutes of the press conference or so and some of the follow-ups afterwards. I think the thing that stood out to me, I was trying to put myself in the shoes of a Broncos fan, in the hefty Timberland boots of a Broncos fan, and I think this is where I would be a little put off compared to what a Texans fan might have been listening to and hearing D'Amico Ryans. Payton, I would say, talked about the Saints at least twice as much as he talked about the Broncos. He talked about his experiences at the Saints, how awesome it was in 2006, what a cool thing it was putting together the staff, which is relevant, and yet he just, at every opportunity, he talked about the Saints and what it was like there. Sometimes to say, hey, you know, the Saints didn't have that tradition that Denver now does. When we showed up in New Orleans, they didn't have. So, you know, he used it as a way to give a compliment to the Broncos. But it, in line with what you were saying, it in no way sounded like he was even minimally acquainted with this Broncos team.
Yeah.
Like, D'Amico got up and called out players by name, some of whom were in attendance, others that weren't. Talked about how excited he was for some of these young players. And obviously gushed about how much he wanted to be in Houston. With Payton, it very much felt transactional. It just felt like the Broncos are his latest stop, you know, and there was a, and you know, without saying it, we all know why, because they paid him the most money.
Yeah, and I don't, to be very clear, I don't think the Broncos job is a great job. Like, the opening, the Texans opening was better than the Broncos opening. I firmly believe that, and I said that throughout the process, and I still believe it. But he never listed anything. Like, there are reasons why the Broncos job is worth looking at. Like, they've got a really good defense. They've got pieces on that team. They've got a good young running back, good young receivers. They have pieces. He didn't list any of that. He just said they were there to meet me for breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't list anything current. He listed all of the past Super Bowls in addition. Yeah. And which was weird. You're right. The Broncos, in a lot of ways, do have a better constructed roster than the Texans right now. They don't have nearly the draft picks because of for multiple reasons. But very one big one is that Russell Wilson is basically Russell Westbrook at this point.
Yeah.
The two Russells, The two Russells, trading for a Russell general these days, not a good idea.
That's a good one. Who's the more washed Russell, Wilson or Westbrook?
I think Russells in 2023 are kind of like Karens were a couple years ago. They're like, oh, great. Thanks a lot for the bad PR, Karens. Now I got a name that's attached to all this crap. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Guy any good? No, he's just a freaking Russell. No.
I do feel bad for actual Karens, like women named Karen.
I do, too.
I feel like that's persisted. The whole Karen thing has persisted. Yep. I thought that it might fade into something else after a while, but yeah, that's a tough one.
And what hurts it is that it persists through viral video, which is never going away. Any viral video
of
someone
is attached,
acting like that is a Karen, yeah.
Yeah, when I say I feel bad for Karens, I'm not talking about
the actual name on their birth certificate.
I'm talking about kind-hearted Karens.
Right.
And you're right. At least if your name is Russell, you're just attached to guys that got paid way too much after they sucked.
Right.
And were traded for way too much draft capital. If your name is Karen, you're now associated with the absolutely worst, angriest, most irrational people alive.
You're associated with brawling in the produce section with some other woman.
you're associated
horrible
with
societal participant. Yes,
you're associated with berating a cop for pulling you over for going 40 miles per hour too fast.
Right, right.
You're all these things. Yeah.
All right. So you said, but you mentioned the Sean Payton actually backed up our theory on the contrasting views of what exactly happened with the Broncos and D'Amico Ryans at the 11th hour. You had Ian Rapoport saying that the Broncos tried to hire D'Amico Ryans at the last minute, and when D'Amico rebuffed them, they went back to Payton. You had Adam Schefter 10 minutes later tweeting, nope, they were on Payton the whole time. This is just a coincidence. You and I, after listening to Sean Payton's press conference, thought, maybe it's somewhere in between. It took 5 or 6 days to complete the trade, according to everybody involved. They got Payton from New Orleans to the Broncos. That in that 5 to 6 day period, logically, the Broncos can't have all their eggs in the Payton basket in case it falls through, right? And Payton actually backed up this theory at his press conference on Monday.
This was the opportunity that I was interested in, and I know I was the coach they were interested in. And yeah, if you're in that position, you're on the phone with everyone because at any time it might not work. And so I think D'Amico was probably talking with Lewis Hamilton or something because I was on the phone with these guys the whole time.
Okay, Lewis Hamilton.
So Lewis Hamilton is one of the minority owners of the team. He's a Formula One driver.
Yep.
And he acknowledged that dynamic is there. And I do wonder, though, okay, is Lewis Hamilton kind of like the guy that's not checked in and doesn't, he's not – like Condoleezza Rice has been mentioned a lot as somebody that's actually pretty involved in all of this
stuff.
He was
at the interviews, so, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Is he saying I don't know, maybe just Lewis Hamilton was just talking to him for whatever
now
reason.
I need to rewatch it to see what his facial expression was.
But I was talking to these guys. I think I did the same thing. I did the facial expression analysis. I think he was just making a joke about – that's the way these things go. He might have been talking to this owner while I was talking to these owners.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's as much soap opera drama attached to it as it would have been easy to assume there was. I think that the Broncos probably did the smart thing, which was, they were keeping Jim Harbaugh. They were keeping their options open in case it fell through with Sean Payton because it was a complex situation.
Yes, I would agree with that. One more.
Because of the trade dynamic.
Yep. Complex situation because of the trade dynamic.
Now, it was complex. So if any of you were involved in ownership and you were involved in trying to trade for a coach, certainly you would have a plan in place if those stakes were too high. I mean, I told Greg and George, here's the thing. They're making the trade, but it's like this trade impacts me. And if this trade is for this, then don't take it because I don't want to go if you lose that. Does that make sense? And so that's where these guys were fantastic.
I wonder if, because you're only allowed to trade draft capital for coaches. You're not allowed to trade players by rule. I wonder if the gold standard for a trade of draft capital for a head coach was the Buccaneers trading 2 firsts and 2 seconds for John Gruden. I could see where Sean Payton would be like, dude, don't trade 2 firsts or 2 seconds for me because I don't want to go to a team that's not drafting in the first or second round until 2025, it would be.
And, well, I'm saddled with Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things about this job that are kind of dicey, and I think that's why – I don't think this was just Sean Payton driving a hard bargain. It would make sense that Sean Payton just had some serious reservations about how much he could turn this team around.
Yep.
And how good he could possibly be. So one of our listeners is saying that we're being stupid because we're so excited about D'Amico Ryans when he hasn't proven anything yet. Okay, cool. What has Sean Payton proven without Drew Brees as his quarterback? Go.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell me. I mean, people forget that they had a 3-year stretch where they went 7-9 every single year. They went 10-6 that first year in New Orleans, and that was very impressive on the heels of Katrina. But then they had a 7-9 and 8-8 season after that. And then they had two really, really good runs, one of which included a Super Bowl. But a lot of what the Saints had done over the stretch of that time was they did a lot of it with a really, really bad defense until these last few years. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for hodgepodging together the things they were doing with Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. They figured some things out, but let's not act like Sean Payton is a conquering hero walking into Denver who's going to, sprinkle his fairy dust over everything and immediately turn it around.
You're 100% right. I haven't seen that. I'm sure it's on here somewhere. You just cited it. I haven't seen
it. He didn't actually call us stupid.
Yeah, no, but I
read it in his tone.
Right, but the thought process of, we've seen a lot of that since D'Amico. Like, I tweeted out that the hiring of D'Amico is one of the greatest days in the history of the franchise. And the reply from a few people, most people are equally excited about it. But if the reply from a lot of people is, how can it be the greatest day? He hasn't even coached in a game yet. Oh, boy. But, I just forget about trying to compare Payton to D'Amico and things like that. I just feel sorry for people who can't get excited about things that don't have an ending yet.
I feel sorry when your argument is something that's already known and taken for granted by the person you're saying it to. Like when you say, he hasn't actually won anything yet. Like, oh,
hadn't noticed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that he was a first-time head coach.
Yeah.
Thanks for thinking I'm that bad at my job that I don't understand or realize that. Are you telling me that he has neither won nor lost any games yet as a head coach just because he's never been a head coach? Dear God, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, blessed listener.
It's not a fun way. It's not a fun way. Yeah, don't go anywhere.
Payton sucks. He sucks, and I know it. They're gonna be a pathetic wretch of a franchise for decades to come. Sean, the Broncos have 6 losing seasons in a row. Can you imagine being that pathetic,
brutal,
that disgusting, that
brutal,
awful, such a waste of a franchise?
We only have
Shouldn't
3.
They should be relegated, not even to a lesser American football league, but some English soccer league. It's disgusting how bad the Broncos
have
been.
That's twice as many in a row as the Texans have right now. That's how bad it's been in Denver. Yeah, I just like, if your whole thing is like, why are you guys so excited about this? He hasn't even coached a game yet. It's like, because getting excited is fun, because hope is a good thing, because it sucked the last 3 years, covering this team because it's been so bad and the coaching has been so piss poor. That's why I'm excited about the possibility. I feel bad for you that you have an existence where you don't allow the possibility or the slight likelihood of things, good things happening, allow you to affect your mood. That's
miserable.
By the
way, and also too, look, people, you gotta quit giving consolation prizes to people for not being atrocious. Because immediately, hey Seth, now they actually had a really good record with Winston and all those guys. Like, no, they were 9-8 in 2021. Having a good record like on a one-off or two-off when Breeze is injured or something, that's different than actually being good all season long with a backup quarterback.
Yep.
It's just too easy to disguise and minimize your quarterback's weaknesses over the course of just a game or two.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We're getting a lot of people weighing in on the Aaron Rodgers darkness retreat that you and I said we would. We were pondering going on one of these based on the description of it. You and I both found a website in Guatemala that does these for what apparently appear to be just like penny sums here, assuming it's for the whole adventure and not a nightly rate. I'm waiting to hear back from them still. I suppose I should be checking my spam folder for the reply as well. I'm guessing emails from Dark Retreats in Guatemala might wind up in a spam folder, I'm guessing, so I'll keep an eye. Text message, trailer, wheel, and frame, text page. 0664, stick me in a room for 4 days in the dark, give me some shrooms, and let me trip balls. That's great.
Well, that is, yeah, it's basically a lot of people were noting that, you know, for what you're going to Guatemala to do, you could actually do just in the comfort of your own home.
Several people have pointed that out.
Or at least like in a hole that you dig in your backyard.
Yeah.
They're sending him to the hole for 4 days, and he's paying good money to do it, I would imagine.
Okay, what if the food, okay, yeah, because Aaron Rodgers described it that they slipped the food. You're in this dark room for however many days you've signed up for, and they slipped the food like through a slot, like in Shawshank. Yep. What if the food is like really good food? Like if it's a, like one night it's a filet, like a surf and turf with a lobster tail, and is it still the hole then if you're getting good food?
That would be an isolation retreat in which the focus was just to better appreciate food by minimizing your other stimuli.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It would be that, in which case, if I were the person running that retreat, I'd be like, I can just give them Salisbury steak, and they're going to think it's the best thing ever.
That's
true. It'd be like the old Eddie Murphy bit, you know, with the cracker to a starving man.
Yep.
Like, what is this, a Ritz?
Yeah.
This isn't just a saltine. This is a Ritz cracker.
It's the greatest cracker I've ever had.
Yeah. I don't think that's part of it. I think they probably eat pretty much gruel. I'm going to tell you honestly, Sean, the biggest thing that I would need, because this has happened to me when I've done isolation tanks.
Yeah.
I have this fear of like, okay, I'm in isolation, I'm removed and detached from the outside world. Like, what happens if there's a fire in the building or something?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here in this tank and my imagination runs wild with that. So I have a hard time feeling secure while I've like got my eyes closed in this isolation.
Yeah.
And you know, what if somebody comes to rob the store or something? So for me, I like out in the rainforest in Guatemala, I would need some assurances somehow that all the leopards, you know, are fenced out and everything. I can't be getting gored by a leopard in the middle of my isolation retreat.
Gored. 6580, yeah. Trailer, wheel, and frame, text page. They're sending ransom notes to your relatives while you're on your isolation retreat.
That's what they do. That's how they get you. That's how they come up with a low price tag.
Yeah, dude, I need to be reading more Guatemala retreat texts. That's a bad job by me. We're going to read some more of those in the next segment. Also, Aaron Rodgers, we've talked about him. Tim Kelly, we've talked about him. What is the likelihood that the two of them wind up in a collab situation? What are the chances Tim Kelly and Aaron Rodgers work together? It's one of the big rumors we'll discuss next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Here was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network talking about Tim Kelly promoted to offensive coordinator in Tennessee.
The Titans have done what they really have done for the last five or so years under Mike Vrabel, which is find a really good young head coach, promote from within, and then make him their offensive coordinator. They did it with Arthur Smith. They did it with Todd Downing. And now they did it with Tim Kelly, the former Houston Texans offensive coordinator under Bill O'Brien, was really on an incredible trajectory when he was with the Houston Texans and really became a favorite of Deshaun Watson, helped Watson develop as he did, ended up leaving there, went to Tennessee, did a really good job there. Now, among several coaches with new roles, including Charles Lundy, who comes in as the quarterback's coach, Tim Kelly fills a key offensive coordinator opening for the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel.
Okay, so Tim Kelly is going to be the OC in Tennessee. Seth, let's marry a couple of things we've been talking about today. Tim Kelly,
okay,
OC in Tennessee. Let's marry this to a blurb in Mike Sando's Pick Six, his Monday column where he attacks all the big storylines around the league. And in this particular one, he's got several predictions on where quarterbacks could wind up. And he talks to a lot of executives, anonymous executives, in putting his column together each week. That's why I like it so much. It's backed by some faceless quotes, which we're all about on this show. The very first quarterback he's predicting things for is Aaron Rodgers. And his prediction is the Packers are finished with Aaron Rodgers and will trade him. He goes through the math of trading Aaron Rodgers, what teams would inherit that traded for him, what the package might be to give up to get Aaron Rodgers. And then he talks to a few executives about logical landing spots for Aaron Rodgers. Says this, obviously the Jets are a logical one because of Nathaniel Hackett being in New York as their new offensive coordinator. Aaron Rodgers likes Nathaniel Hackett. Might be the reason why the Jets hired him, was so that Aaron Rodgers would approve that.
Aaron Rodgers likes Nathaniel Hackett. Is there any actual evidence that like he really wants to play for Nathaniel Hackett?
Not so far.
He didn't go to Denver.
He's 0-1.
It seems like the weirdest thing to me that like it's almost like, hey, this. I heard these guys roomed together at summer camp one year. They were bunkmates.
Right.
So it's strange, but okay. There must be something to it. I got to think there's something to it.
Here's where we marry the two things we're talking about. Execs, this is Sando, Mike Sando from The Athletic. Execs have pointed to Tennessee as an intriguing potential landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. The Packers might not trade Rodgers to an NFC contender like the 49ers, even if the Niners were interested in absorbing the contractual ramifications. First exec, quote, Tennessee is a great spot for him. Second exec, quote, ooh, I could totally see that with Tennessee.
Totes.
So it could very well be that Aaron Rodgers is, I mean, okay, it's good a chance as any, but Aaron Rodgers could be in the AFC South next year.
This is where I don't know. I with Aaron Rodgers, honestly, I think sometimes we spend too much time trying to dissect whatever the hell he's talking about on the Pat McAfee show. I mean, McAfee kind of gives him a runway to just go ahead and give him a stream of consciousness and a high five for everything that he says. And I think sometimes Rodgers is speaking. Some of the complaints he has, it's impossible to tell like how serious he is about those complaints. Like he talks about how important it is for him to finish his time in Green Bay, and then he mentions guys like Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb and all of that. Well, okay, if he goes elsewhere, he's not going to bring Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb with him, I don't think. Maybe he would. Maybe it's like he's got this ayahuasca all-star team of his buddies from the offseason that he wants to bring with him, and that's the only way he'll accept the trade. So I don't know if he really does know what he wants. And I think he seems to think that after he goes on this isolation retreat, he'll have a good feel for what he wants. I just don't. I think what happens maybe in some of these offseason retreats that he does is he goes, he gets away from everything, and he realizes like, oh, you know what? I actually got it pretty good here in Green Bay. I got to just, you know, I got to recognize and understand I got a good thing going here. And that includes Matt LaFleur and his offense,
yeah,
if they can get the right wide receivers this year. So I think ultimately it ends up with him, because of all these things that he's complained about or he says he wants and everything, he doesn't have those things elsewhere. He doesn't have nearly as much elsewhere as he has right there in Green Bay.
Yep.
And he can't seem to let his – it seems like his issues with some of the management at Green Bay is the biggest obstacle, more so than any specific item. It's Brian Gutekunst or Mark Murphy or something. He's just got – you know what he needs, Sean? Okay, Gutekunst and Murphy, they got to go on one of these retreats with him. Have they done that? I know they've flown out to meet with him. They got to go ahead and cross that bridge of saying, like, all right, yeah, I'll go do an ayahuasca ceremony with you in Central America this offseason. And honestly, I feel like then I think that Rodgers would feel like, oh yeah, these are my guys. I'm 100% into Green Bay. I'm into Wiener Schnitzel and ayahuasca. And no place does it better than the front office of the Green Bay Packers.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We need to grow their hair out.
I guess it would be bratwurst, right?
Yeah. Bratwurst for sure. Cheese. Definitely cheese. So Aaron Rodgers potentially to the Titans playing with Tim Kelly. By the way, the Titans are rumored. There was a rumor this week that the Titans want to move up and get the number one overall pick. They were mentioned as a... Now, granted, this is a Titans website mentioning this, but they're saying that the Titans, who currently hold the number 11 selection in the draft, may want to move up to secure their potential quarterback of the future. I don't know, man. 10 spots, that's a long way to... That's a big 10 spots, too. 11-1. You would be probably having to do some serious gutting of future drafts to move up from... It's one thing for the Texans to move up from 2-1. It's one spot. But I don't know that the Bears want to move all the way back to 11. You know, like, you're the Bears, man. You want to come away with one of these four or five best players in the draft.
I wonder, you know, and do the Titans really have an appetite for something like that after the GM was just fired? It seemingly, at least in part, because he traded A.J. Brown and then whiffed in the – he traded away A.J. Brown and then whiffed in the draft on his replacement, or at least so far his whiffed. We'll see, you know, how that all works out. But it's kind of hard to replace an A.J. Brown in the draft. So I
– As they learned, they tried to draft one.
I guess when in trading A.J. Brown, you're loading up on draft capital and avoiding paying. So maybe that is precisely what they want to do, is build through the draft and that includes trading up. I just the whole thing about trading up for Bryce Young is, I think this is where the harsh reality of it is, that a GM would never admit to this, but that kind of move is something that is a, you're either getting fired or you're making GM of the year for it.
Yeah.
Like, they're trading up for the injury prone it's a theory that Bryce Young would be injury prone because he's so small. It concerns me. I'm concerned about it, and yet I'm trying to figure that out. Like, how concerned am I versus intrigued? But if you trade for Bryce Young and he gets injured a bunch in the first 2 years, then you're losing your job, and that's just a fact of the matter. That's why it's so much harder to trade the number one overall pick than people usually assume it is, including the people who hold the number one overall pick, partly because when you trade all that capital to get up that high, it's a career breaker if it doesn't work out. And that's why I don't think people do it for Bryce Young, because there's just too much. It's too easy a narrative if he ends up getting injured a bunch to turn into, like, oh my God, can you believe they did that? What idiots. Everybody could see that coming.
There's a person on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page that wants you to go through Guatemala for a week with a GoPro on your head for your YouTube channel.
You know what? They have them so they can clip right on your backpack strap.
Oh, yeah?
That's the best way to do it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
okay.
How you record people without them even realizing it. Because they're just like, oh, I'm just talking to some pleasant gentleman with a backpack.
It's what the FBI
does.
It's not
even a hidden camera or not.
Yeah. FBI sticks them on the lapels of waiters in mob restaurants. That's what they do.
Dude, I saw some shot from an old movie. Oh, it was something from the 80s, but it was a guy was wearing a secret spy camera that was like a boutonniere or something. Like, oh my God, even in the movies, these things looked ridiculous.
Yes.
Like, knowing now that you could have a secret camera. I could have 29 secret cameras on my body right now and you wouldn't have a clue.
It's true.
Me and a GoPro at various places. I always have a hard time. I feel weird recording people that I don't know. Even if, like, because I don't like doing it without telling them, hey, by the way, I've got a camera here. But then immediately, once you tell people you have a camera, the interaction's different. So I don't know. It's I'll have to go do my isolation retreat and contemplate it for 4 days. And
yes, yeah.
Maybe strap on the GoPro.
Figure that. Just bring the GoPro with you so you have the option. 9017. We're back to, if you're just jumping in, Seth and I were contemplating going on a 4 day darkness retreat like Aaron Rodgers is going to go on here soon. We've looked into it. It looks to be pretty inexpensive, assuming the prices are for the whole experience and not per night. Yeah. I'm waiting to hear back on that. We've had several
people are pointing out that Guatemala is cheap in general.
Yes.
It's just that with these types of retreats, you don't expect to pay like actual Guatemala prices for them.
Right.
And I realize $1,100 for a week is not actual Guatemala prices. I'm just saying I still expect to pay like resort type prices for something like this. That's kind of feels like it's geared more towards rich Americans.
Yes.
It feels like it's one of these types of deals.
That's what I would say to all these people pointing out how low the cost of living is in Guatemala.
Yeah.
And why would it be? And the nature of what you're doing. You're going and sitting in a dark room for four
right.
days. You're not ordering room service. You're not finding out what fun activities you have there. Oh, can I go deep sea fishing today? Oh, where's the water slide? That kind of thing. You're in a dark room. Someone says the food you eat is probably oatmeal. $1,000 for 4 days sounds like way too much. Maybe so. Maybe that's the case. But as Seth points out, the audience for this might be, for example, Aaron Rodgers, who probably thinks like, wow, $20,000 for me to go do anything for a week outside of Green Bay sounds pretty cheap to me. Hmm.
Average annual salary in Guatemala. It's weird. On this website, it's framed as salary, which makes me skeptical of just what it is. It says it's $16,000 a year, which seems that's not that much of a difference from America on average annual salary, average annual income. So, I expected it to be
16 grand.
Yeah. No, it's not, Sean. I'm not saying it's awesome or anything. I'm just saying that a lot of countries, I don't know. Inflation hits hard, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess, yeah. What do we know what the salary is here?
What's that?
What's the average salary in America?
It's like 20, I don't know.
Okay.
It's somewhere around 30,000.
Okay.
Think.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
That salary, average income is that's why salary is making it sound specific.
Yeah.
Or so sketchy to me.
Gotcha. All right, Payne and Pepper.
Average income in the United States is $31,000.
Okay, there you go.
So for it to be half of what it is in Guatemala, that actually surprises me a little bit because there's like some extremely impoverished parts of Guatemala.
Big
so,
time, yeah. Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. Hey, you know who's meeting with the media today? Roger Goodell. What is it that we expect to hear from Roger Goodell? And one thing that Roger Goodell has in common with both the cities of Houston and the city of Cleveland. That is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Two things get people popping on the text page: NFL draft talk and Guatemala talk. That's what I've learned. Guatemala retreats.
Nobody has given us the proper average annual income in Guatemala yet. So,
well, step it up, people. Jeez, come on now.
You made me feel weird somehow, like by me.
No.
Me acting like I was impressed by the average income in Guatemala.
No.
I felt like somehow I was going to get canceled for that.
No. Let me make myself clear. I think you said something along the lines of it's $16,000 annual income. Boy, that's not that far off from the United States. And I was like, it isn't? Like, that's like I had my own definition of not far off.
Well, yeah. Well, no, because the average income in the United States is $30,000. Let me tell you one thing, Sean. This is one thing they found, and this is across all different cultures, or a lot of countries, in the West at least.
Yep.
Almost everybody thinks they're middle class.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and people vastly underestimate like what actual middle class is, or people don't. I remember I got in an argument once with a girl at college who's like some trust fund baby type, and she was like, and remember this is in 1995, 1996. She was claiming that people that made $40,000 a year were poor. Like, that's legitimately poor. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Remember, this is 1996, too, which is still – she was saying, like, yeah, that's poor. Like, that's really poor. You can't afford this and that and everything. And I didn't – like, you get to a point where you're like, okay, I guess I just can't – there's no facts or statistics that will back me up with this particular discussion, because in her mind
– that's her definition.
A standard of living,
yeah.
That she's just – she does – she can't – she can't envision living below that standard of living, and that you must be poor if you're not. Which I guess, I mean, realistically, that's how we are in America. There's a certain standard of living in some countries that's middle class there, but we look at it as, oh my God, that's absolutely unbelievable. I would never live like that.
Roger Goodell is going to meet with the media today for his annual State of the League address, and he answers questions. And there's certain categories of questions that I've seen people speculating, people want to most hear about and things like that. And we can talk about what those are. But I do think this, I think the one thing Roger Goodell has in common with Houston, and maybe Cleveland now that Deshaun Watson has actually played a few football games, I bet Roger Goodell is happy he's not going to get any Deshaun Watson questions today.
Yeah.
Thrilled about that.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. What are the... is there a hot button issue right now in the NFL? It's Super Bowl time. There was the one year where the deer velvet stuff was big with the Ravens, remember?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson had given that IGF supplement to the guys.
Yeah. The deer antler spray. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Deflategate was a big deal one year.
Yep.
There have been various times where there was a hot button issue at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right now, it doesn't feel like there is much hot buttoning going on.
I was thinking that same thing yesterday.
I'll teach Roger Goodell about the hot button. A lot of men don't know.
We'll let you talk to him privately about that. Yeah. Here are the ones. The Athletic did an article kind of previewing Commissioner Goodell today, and they thought this would be the biggest questions would come around these things, which maybe shows kind of, you know, that we're just sort of settled into normal day-to-day stuff as opposed to the Deshaun Watson drama of the world or Deflategate, as you pointed out. Number one, officiating issues. I bet he will get questions about that. The last half hour of the telecast, of the AFC title game, I don't know how much it was in game minutes, maybe last 10 minutes of the game, something like that, was a travesty. There were so many things that happened in the last 10 minutes of the AFC title game. We're like, really? Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is, okay, we're going to do this. And then
trying to get the Chiefs into the Super Bowl, it would look like.
There was a lot of there was a lot of the officiating this year on the pass interference side of things where it started to feel too much like the NBA, where it's just, you know, like you're just never quite sure exactly what is and isn't going to be called. And I know it's always been like that because it's a judgment call. But this year I felt like there was way too much difference from one game to another or one crew to another as to what was allowed by defensive backs.
Yep.
And I'm surprised by that because like they moved away from that for a long time to just being super strict, which resulted in more offense. And for whatever reason, they've kind of backslid. And as a defensive guy, I don't necessarily mind. I just wish it was more consistent.
I guess the only thing that's on this list that would veer into similar territory of the things you cited before, Seth, Deshaun, Deflategate, would be Daniel Snyder. Daniel Snyder, the investigation, what is his fate going to be? Are they going to sell the team? Is he going to be forced to sell the team? That's the closest thing I can think of to like a soap opera style storyline that he might get asked about.
You know what, though, too, Sean? I feel like that topic is almost like an even more boring version of the way baseball writers wanted everybody to really, really, really care about steroids. It's something that I think there's some juicy stuff there, but for the most part, people just don't care about that Washington ownership situation other than in Washington.
Yeah.
And there is some really juicy stuff to it, but I think people just don't care. It just detracts from the stuff that people want to actually watch. The concussions increased this year by like 20, 22 more concussions this year than last year. You can go different ways with that. That might just be flukish circumstance. Like, obviously, you want to see an improvement. It could be that they're being more vigilant about detecting them. It could be that Tua Tagovailoa had 22 of them himself. So it's, you know, you gotta work these things. You gotta massage it a little bit.
As soon as you're laying that out, that's what I was gonna say.
I think, my old teammate Drew Hodgson, sometimes podcast co-host, just emailed me an article about how they found CTE in a certain percentage of retired NFL players. This is where some of the CTE research, frankly, is you got to dig into a lot of this.
Yeah.
There's some of the problems with the CTE research is that the numbers, the forecasts of like guaranteed doom for every NFL player who ever lived have not come true, and a lot of the statistics about neurodegenerative issues later in life like have not been nearly as cataclysmic as the CTE stats would suggest. So I'm getting a little bit annoyed with it. As somebody that used to be very much an adamant about, like, and I still do think you have to keep studying this stuff, there's some attempted alarmism that's annoying.
John Lopez is in studio. Hello, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, man.
How you doing, buddy?
I was thinking concussions the whole time, and then I loved your line about Tua. It's like
joke about Tua's brain like that.
Seventh grade class has an average height of 6'4", but there's one 7'2" dude.
Yeah, he's skewing the numbers. He's skewing the numbers. Hey, would you go on a darkness retreat like Aaron Rodgers is going to go on?
This sounds like something, you know what? That would be a really find yourself.
That's where Seth and I are right really now. Could. We're like this close to going on one.
After a day, you would go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. The concept sounds really good. The practicality of it, I would kill myself.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you just jump into this like signing up for a marathon after not having jogged a day in your life. I think this is something this is for like hardcore mindfulness people that have done meditation retreats and everything, and they're just trying to take it to a different level.
Man.
Yeah, I don't think this is for a novice.
Aaron Rodgers sounds like he's just jumping in.
He did the
vomit thing, you know, but
yeah.
Vomit thing. It's a panchakarma cleanse. Yeah. It's not the vomit.
The vomit and poopy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just vomiting, it's enemas as well.
It's all that good stuff. You're cleaning everything out. Yeah,
anybody can vomit. To get an enema, that's a commitment.
It's an inner power wash.
Yes, yes. What do you got going on the show today?
Just put that 3,500, what is it? Whatever it is, PPM or whatever.
Right.
Power washer.
What do we have going on? Oh, wow.
BSI, I got Amazon reviews for the best,
For what?
The best enemas.
Oh, okay.
You want your butt cleaned. I got you covered.
Yeah. There's a couple of meals I could give you too.
You and Ibaka take care of three African elephants.
We are bearing down on the coaching staff.
You are.
And Landry and I both kind of dug in different ways, so that'll be interesting. Colts could back into something that might be a little scary.
Okay.
Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about what we just mentioned with Aaron Rodgers, all kinds of good stuff happening.
Okay, good deal. Yeah. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, in the loop. I just saw Figgy walking down the hall with a slice of pizza.
That's
New
York style.
Pizza in the house?
It's like the size of the plate.
Oh, boy. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and business idea. Hear me out. Pancha Kamu Gruje Hill.
Oh, there you go. He might need that soon. All right, we're done. We are out of time. We're back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. In the Loop is up next. Until then, have a great day, everybody.
It looks like a mishmash of porridge and dead orphans.
Antibodies to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.